The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I've been talking to an older pastor as of late. It's been kind of nice. I got connected with him through a thing called Pastor Serve. There's older pastors that meet with younger pastors. They kind of talk to us and make sure that we're not doing anything crazy and keep us accountable, which is really cool. And I got connected with this older pastor in Kansas City, which made me happy. And not only that, but this older pastor knows almost everybody I know. And we've never crossed paths. You ever met somebody like that where they know everybody? Like, you start talking like, oh, yeah, you know them. Oh, I know them, da-da-da. And so we know all the same people. He even knew my pastor growing up. He's actually of the age of those guys. So he knew my pastor growing up personally. And we just had so much in common. We're talk. Literally the first hour of us talking was just us catching up on all the people in Kansas City that we knew. And we crossed paths and kind of circled each other in the city, but never touched until now. And it's been kind of cool because when I talked to him, he asked these questions. And very funny enough, he's one of the few people that can speak to me in an endearing way now. I've allowed him in, and we start having some conversations, some tough questions. He started to ask me, and I don't like all the questions, but you know, the fun part about Zoom is you have leave meetings. I can click that pretty quickly if I want. I don't, but you know, we were just talking over Zoom and having questions, and he asked a question the other day that really kind of bothered me. And that wasn't the other day, it was like 3 months ago. But it kind of bothered me. And so, as you know, like I like to do, if something bothers me, I like to bother you with it. And so I wanted to kind of bring it to you to bother you, okay? So you're welcome. And here's the question. He goes, do you ever wonder why the significant changes in your life you want to, significant changes in your life you try and try and try to make, but you can't do it? Do you ever wonder why you have significant changes in your life and you try and try and try, but you can't do it? And which I looked at him, I looked at the camera on my screen that was looking at him, and I was like, why would you ask me that? And he goes, I felt that way. And he said, the reality is that we all have a powerful truth from Scripture that we can have, that I want to give you and that he's given me, and I think it's something we could use that'll help change the way that we live. Because once you start living in this way, it's not depressing anymore. It's not I want to give up anymore. Matter of fact, it allows you to kind of to reclaim some agency in your life. It's kind of like New Year's resolutions. Every year, we have New Year's resolutions. I've been at the link for a while now, and every January, it just pops off. Everybody and their grandmother, even like last Friday, I think everybody figured out the summer's coming, so you need your beach bodies. And so everybody was like on the ab machines and running on the cardio machines and stuff like that. And I walked in on a Friday at 8:30 in the morning. It's packed. I'm like, what is going on? And somebody goes, it's bikini season. I was like, oh, yeah, everybody wants to get ready to go to the beach or go to the lake or wherever you want to go, right? But it's funny because if you ever go to a gym, you're ever part of a gym, January, it's crazy. Because, you know, new year, new me. And then by February, 80% of those people, gone. 80%. Statistically, 80% of them are gone. Matter of fact, they're usually gone halfway through January, and the rest of them fall off before Valentine's Day. Statistically, 93% of people that make a New Year's resolution will give up on it before Valentine's Day. 93. You ever wonder why you want to make significant changes in your life, and you just can't? Because if you live long enough, you'll see over and over and over that you want to do last year's thing again this year. I want to be 200 pounds this year. I want to be 150 this year. I want to do this. I want a new year, new me every single year. And it just kind of goes on to the next year and the next year and the next year. What I want to show you today from God's word is how we can change. I want to show you how you can change, and I want to root it in Scripture because I want you to understand that all of us are trying to start or stop something in our life. And if we fall back into the old patterns or if we move forward with something new, it's hard, but it's worth it. And I don't know what it might be for you. Or maybe it's to stop overeating or stop smoking or stop looking at stuff online. And you do it for a little while, but what happens is you find a moment where something critical happens in your life and you just get sucked back in. You find a moment where there's something critical or a stressor comes, and you run to that for relief instead of running to Jesus, and you pull right back in. Or you start exercising like I've done, and then you miss a day. This week was horrible for me. I got off in the morning. I was like, woohoo, this is great. And then the second day was horrible, and I missed. And then the third day, and I missed. And you just kind of misses. And what it's easy to do is you go, well, I guess I'm just not going. Friday, I could have been like, I'm just not going. But in reality, you get up and you just do it. Because when you skip a day becomes a week. A week becomes a month. And a month becomes the new year. And then it's new year, new me. And you're trying and you're trying and trying. You're trying to manage your money. You're trying to be wise financially. You're trying to get out of debt. And eventually, you're tired of trying, so you just go shopping. I mean, Amazon's right there, right? It's on my phone. I can click it. Get my stuff. It's here in 2 days. Woohoo! Was it shopping therapy is what I've heard it's called? Right? And you can go do that. You don't have to go. And as a matter of fact, you can do it for the privacy of your own home. You don't even have to go out in public anymore. You can just sit at home and click, 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 and it all comes to you. Little brown boxes show up. Random people showing up in your yard. Which, by the way, I wish Amazon would send their trucks and not random people in their own cars. I just really don't like random people in their own cars driving up my driveway. Just side note, it's over here, not Christian. Okay. But the title for today's message is very simple. Why can't I change? Why can't I change? And there really is only one point. I'm going to give you a soul tattoo. I'm going to give you one point, and then I'm just going to bang on that point for about an hour. But I want you to understand why you can't change, because as I was talking to my pastor friend, and we're having this conversation, he was asking the same question, and I think it's a declaration that we have to make, and I want you to see it, because that's our soul tattoo. It's not just a summation. I think it's a declaration you and I have to make in order to know how we can change moving forward. It's this. Look on the screen. It's really quick. I'm going to read it for you, and I want you to read it with me. It says, with God's help, we will choose what we want most over what we want now. You see how that's a declaration? It's a little bit different, right? It's not just saying, hey, this is what the summation of the sermon is. This says what I can do with God's help. Everybody say, with God's help. We will choose what we want most over what we want now. What I tell my kids is do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. Do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do is the concept. We'll choose what we want most over what we want now. This is a simple concept that is called delayed gratification. That's what they call it in psychology. We don't know how to do that well because we have little clickers on our phone that tell us to go to the next thing, right? That suck you in for an hour. I mean, you ever been in bed? Has anybody ever dropped the phone on their face? Are you willing to admit that? You've been in bed, you've been holding it up, your hand gets tired, you start getting sleepy, you let it go, you bust yourself in the face. I've done it. I've done it before. It's horrible. You shouldn't be in bed. But we do that all the time, right? We sit there, we scroll, and we scroll, and we scroll. Back in the day, it used to be, you know, we'd be on the TV until the bars came on, where they play the national anthem. That's how old I am. They would play the national anthem because TV went off at a certain time. It just ended. There was no more TV. They play the national anthem and like, that ends our broadcast for the day. Boop. And that was it. That would wake you up, right? Or maybe you're a millennial baby. You woke up with the infomercials with the guys going, get a ShamWow at 2 in the morning, right? Because that's all that's what they sold at that point. But at some point it ended. Now we're in a situation where nothing ends. It just feeds you, and you get a dopamine hit after dopamine hit after dopamine hit, and we don't know how to stop it. And what I'm telling you is you have to make a declaration right now that with God's help, that's the key. That first part is the key. With God's help, you will choose what you want most over what you want now. What you want most over what you want now. I'm going to pray, we're going to read the scripture, and then we're going to get into it today. Father God, I thank you so much that you allow us, with your help, to be overcomers. To move forward in what you want us to do. Jesus, I ask as we dig into your scripture, we dig into your word, that you help us to be overcomers in every way, and that you help us to look towards delayed gratification of what we want most over what we want now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That in you we can accomplish this. We ask now that you use us and you shape us for your glory and help us to be examples to a watching world of what it means to be changed by you. In your name we pray. And all God's saints will say, amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. It says this: do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive perishable wreath, but the imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body. I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, Paul is talking about a competitive metaphor to his audience, which clearly understood this perspective because they were in Corinth at the time. And you have to understand, in Corinth, that's where the Olympic Games were held. A couple years, they'll be in Los Angeles. But back then, they were held in Corinth, Greece. So when he's writing about being competitive, they're like, we know about that. We understand that. That's what we do. They would host it all the time. And in Corinth, they actually had, I was looking this up this week, I thought this is great. They had their own version of the Olympic Games, specifically in Corinth. They were known as the Ithamian Games. And they had very specific competitions. Let me tell you some of the competition they had. You could train and enroll to be a wrestler. Anybody wrestle before? We had a wrestler, yeah, okay. So if you did wrestling, you could have wrestled there. Now, they did wrestle naked. It's awkward, but that's what they did, okay? They had chariot races. So they had little chariot courses. You get on a chariot race, and you'd race each other, which is kind of cool. And then here's the one that I loved, I thought was really cool. You could compete in poetry reading. That was a competition in their Ithamian Games. That was one of their competitions. I don't know if it was like hardcore poetry reading. I don't know if it was like, you know, kind of like slam battle poetry reading, one against the other. But they had poetry readings. And you may not know this about me, but standing before you was a two-time state champ of poetry reading in the state of Kansas. So, you know, I mean, I think I could have competed. I could have competed in my little Ithamian Games. You know, they would have let me get up there and do my little poetry. It was kind of cool. I did dramatic poetry. Surprise, surprise. And it was a lot of fun. So if I'd born in, you know, I could have recited to win. But Paul was talking to a group that understood the value of competition. They understood what it meant to compete. And they celebrated the competition and the thrill of victory. Now, I know, you know, here at Lincoln and even in Jeff City recently, we haven't experienced the thrill of victory in that way. But it's kind of cool when you do. It's really cool when you do. A couple times ago when the basketball team was winning, We love it, right? When you saw last year, Jeff City High School went to the state championship game in basketball. We love it. As a school, you love that kind of stuff. That's awesome. You love the thrill of victory. You love seeing a team come together. You celebrate it. And that's why in verse 24, Paul says this: do you not know that in the race, runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. You got to run. You got to run. Let me ask this question. How many of you have ever won anything? Like anything. I'm talking about, I mean, if it was a blue ribbon on field day, if it was, you know, if it was an actual gold medal, like I don't know. Have you won something? Because when you win, that's addicting. It's addicting. And when you begin to love to win, it changes you. Let me give you an example. The greatest of all time in basketball, Michael Jordan. The reason why I call him the GOAT, and I've said this to my kids, they're kind of sick of it, but like LeBron James is really good. He's going to be up there in like the greats, right? But when you call Michael Jordan the GOAT, here's the reason why you call him the GOAT. His teammates hated him. His teammates absolutely hated him. Do you know why? He had one thing he wanted to do: win. That's it. He didn't care about anything else. He didn't care about your feelings. He didn't care about anything. He cared about winning. And he would do anything. And in matter of fact, he would tell you, I'm going to do everything I'm asking you to do so that we win. There's a famous story that he has is when he retired and he came back. If you remember, he retired, played baseball for a couple years, came back. He was a basketball player. And a bunch of guys are in the gym, and they're playing the game, and they're having fun. And he's on the second team Michael Jordan is playing on the second team, the scout team against the starters, and he gets in a fight with a guy named Steve Kerr, who's a basketball coach now. He literally punches him in the face. And he goes, I can't say the language he said, but he goes, you guys are acting like you won all those banners up there, but you weren't here. That's insane. To punch your own teammate to go, you didn't win any of this, so shut up about it. But, like, that's a mentality of what it means to win. He was so addicted to winning, he didn't care whose feelings he hurt. He just cared at the end when he held the trophy. That's what it means to genuinely love to win. Now, Christian, I'm not asking you to make people around you hate you so much about winning. What I am talking about is having a thirst for wanting to win and run in that way. You should be loving, yes, but you should remember that you are in a spiritual battle and that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and that we're called to be conquerors. That's what you're called in the God's Word, that you have victory in Christ. That's literally what the Bible says. And so it's kind of like we stand with the winner whose name is Jesus, and he likes to win also. He likes to win in your life. He likes to win in my life. And if you notice, Paul didn't just say, hey, run the race to finish and get the participation trophy. He didn't say, hey, go through and you're going to get a cool ribbon and everybody's going to like it. No, no, no. He said the very last thing he said before, he said, run to win. Jesus, before he went up to heaven, right? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I say. He did not say, go to my disciples, sleep in late, kind of, you know, chill around, we'll figure it out, waste your life looking at social media, be mediocre. That's not what he said. No, no, no. He said, go, be active, do something, live your life, don't waste it. Paul said, if you're going to run, run to win. So here's the question for you. Why aren't we winning? Why aren't we making progress? Why aren't we achieving the goals we want to achieve? Why aren't we changing the things we want to change in our life? Why aren't we growing in that way? And the answer is, and I believe this truth can change your life, the reason you haven't been changing, the reason you haven't been growing is that you've been trying for too long, which sounds weird. When I've first heard, the pastor told me that. He goes, John, you've been trying for so long. And I was like, well, what do you mean? I mean, I've been doing it, right? I've been faithful. I've been going to the gym. I've been doing this thing. And he's like, yeah, you've been trying. You've been trying. In most important areas of your life, most Christians have adopted a theology of trying. What are we doing? What are you doing? I'm trying to serve God. Let's see if you've heard this before. Just listen. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to go to church. I'm trying to read my Bible. Anybody heard those before? I'm trying to stop smoking. I'm trying to stop cussing. I'm trying to be nice to my children. I'm trying to be more loving. I'm trying not to worry so much. I'm trying not to eat the whole thing. That's me every time I see a pie. I'm trying not to eat the whole thing, right? I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying. You notice the theme here. And sometimes some of y'all get mad at me because you'd be like, oh, I'll try to do it. And I'm like, don't try, do. Notice the difference. A lot of times we try. I'm trying. And I'm trying to do my best. But I can't, I just can't do it anymore. And we try so hard. And when you have a theology of trying, that's when we find ourselves giving up. Why are you not changing? Because you've been trying for too long. And I want you to change your strategy today. Here's my one point. This is it. It's right here on the screen. It's time to stop trying. It's time to start training. It's time to stop trying and start training. What's the difference? Because I didn't feel like there was much of a difference, right? Like, I'm trying to go to the gym. No. Trying gives me an excuse, right? I slept in a little bit, so I guess I can't go today. And then again, there goes the day to the week to the month to now I'm out the next year again, right? Trying tells me that I'm going to work at it. But remember, we said in that soul tattoo, with God's help. And a lot of times, trying is all you and not God's help. A lot of times we find ourselves with not God's help. But when we try never achieves consistent results. Training does. Try never changes anything for long. Training is entirely different mindset and perspective. talk about the difference just for a moment to kind of help you out. What you do when you're trying, what is trying? Trying is an attempt to change with minimal commitment. It's often, let's be honest, a half-hearted attempt. A lot of times when we try, it's, I'll get to it. I'm trying to be more godly, or read my Bible, or be nice, or not be so lazy. It's planning to fail. Because when you fail, you kind of go, well, there you go, I made my way out of it. There's no real commitment. It's just a try. It's just a hope, a wish. When you're trying, you're not getting anywhere. But training is very different. Training is a wholehearted commitment to achieve a specific result. You know, the difference between trying and training is that you're trying, you just show up and hope it's better and hope it works out. And I'm trying to do things. And people say all the time, Pastor John, I'm really trying to get better. I'm like, hey, stop trying. Start training. Start being consistent with it. There's intentionality behind training. There's focus behind training. There's a defined vision behind training. There's a purpose behind training. And when you're trying and it gets too hard, you give up. When you train, you're going to keep going even when it is hard. Training looks different. When you're training, you don't act according to your feelings. Let me say it one more again, because we live in a society where everything's based off our feelings. When you're training, it is not about your feelings. I can't tell you how many mornings I'm sitting at the gym not wanting to lift a single weight. I don't want to. But I've made a commitment to train. There's a big difference. You see, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, everyone who competes in the games, they go to strict training. Instead of trying, instead of competing, they go into strict training. In fact, the Greeks, I thought it was so interesting. Even back then, when they trained, they literally had a word that we translate today as agony. That's what they went into. They called it agozomai, which means agony. They went into agony in order to train. They would restrict themselves from so many things. They would say, I'm going to strain everything I have to get to that goal. And what does that look like? Trying is a half-hearted attempt. Training takes every bit of power you have, even some power that you don't. That's with God, right? He gives you that extra. So you could strain every nerve toward the goal for the call that God has created you to be. That's training. And when you have an athlete who competes in the Olympics, back in those days, they would go on a 10-month strict training. No alcohol. They would move away from their spouse. They'd be on a very strict diet. And they would have no junk food. I'm not sure what kind of junk food they had back then, but they would have no junk food. They literally had a strict training that scientists have found. They would expose themselves. They would climb mountains, expose themselves to extreme cold, and they would go into hot tubs and be in extreme hot to train their body in all conditions. You know the craziest thing that they found? Which I've never done before, so maybe I'm not training properly. They would eat sand sometimes. Now, I'm not sure what benefit that had for the body. I'm not sure. That was just in a book I was reading that on the list of things that as athletes trained for the Olympics back then, occasionally they would eat sand. I don't know if you supplemented it, but if you like Taco Bell, you're already doing it. So there you go. Maybe you're trying really hard. Congratulations, Taco Bell lovers. All right. Look up the ingredients on their beef. It's sand. Okay. Thankfully, we don't have to eat sand unless you eat Taco Bell, right? But they're training to commit, to compete, to win. Right? When you make a commitment, it changes you. It looks different. So imagine this is the marathon. You got a couple runners that show up at the starting line. Maybe there's hundreds of people there, right? Maybe there's hundreds of people there. And one person's ready in a strict diet, no wine, eating sand, extreme heat, extreme cold, months of preparation. And the other guy looks like me. He's been sitting on the couch. He's kind of been training, kind of doing his thing. Maybe lifting weights, but he hasn't been running. Who's going to win? We all know who's going to win, right? I'm going to be the marathon runner who dies when he gets there. That dude's going to get done and have a conversation with somebody, right? There's a difference here. And before the gun goes off, you know, you can look at somebody and be like, man, I just didn't really get around to it. You know, things are busy. Like, I was chasing my kids and having challenges and my wife and then my work and blah, 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 blah. I just didn't get around to it. And the guy says, you're going to run a marathon? You didn't train for it? What's my response? Well, I was excited to get the free T-shirt. You know, they're going to give me a medal anyway because, like, I finished. As long as I finish by a certain time, I'll get a medal, a little participation trophy. It's kind of cool. If you're an athlete or a competitor, when you're fighting, something matters. You have a vision and you have a dream. When you have something that God has called you to, when you have a spiritual assignment, when you have, and by the way, every Christian has been given a spiritual assignment. When you have a spiritual assignment in your life, trying apart from training is unthinkable. You can't help but run towards it. You can't help but train yourself in that way. We're not trying to honor God. We're training to do what He's created us to do. You see the difference? A lot of times we go, man, I'm just trying to honor. No, no, no. Train yourself. Prepare yourself. Look to what God has created you to be and then run towards that goal. What are the things that I need to do to prepare myself to be ready for what God has called me to do? If you don't know what that is, let's discover it together. But if you know what it is, you should be dropping everything that holds you from that thing so you can be prepared to go do it. That you can move forward. That's why the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, if you want to read it, whenever Paul is talking to Timothy about becoming a godly man, here's what Paul didn't say. He didn't say, hey, Timothy, I want you to try to be really godly. Timmy, can you do that for me? Wake up and just try your best. That's not what Paul said. What he says is, quote, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself. This isn't a half-hearted commitment. This is a full-on, all-in, every nerve in my body, agonizing strain towards a goal that is empowered by the Spirit of God. That is what you're called to do. So in training, what should we do? How do we train? What does it look like to let God train us and change us into who He wants us to become? Let's keep it really simple. Training is doing, and I should have put this on the screen, but I didn't. Training is doing what I can today to enable me to do even more today, tomorrow. Training is doing what I can today to enable me to do even more tomorrow. Training is doing what I can today to enable me to do even more tomorrow. That's training. It's clear. I scribbled that down the second the pastor told me that. I thought it was powerful. But training, very simply, is consistently doing what I can today to enable me to do more tomorrow. Verse 26, go back to the scripture, what it says. Verse 26, very simply. So, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I simply discipline my body, keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. When I wake up, I know what I'm called to do. I have a plan for today. When I fall back, and I do fall, please hear me, I fall. I mess up. I have my days where I'm like, ooh, I probably shouldn't have done it. Or maybe I should have said it that way, right? Everybody who is honest with themselves has those days. But what do? You get up. You get up. And you fight. I don't just shadow box. You ever seen people do that? Like, there's a guy at the link, and I try not to giggle. But he does this, and I don't know why he's doing it. Maybe he has a purpose behind it, but like between sets, everybody has to do something different, right? You ever gone lifting weights? You have like 30 seconds to a minute, you're sitting there, right? So what I do is different than what you may do. I stare into my soul in a mirror. If you don't believe me, ask my kids, they've seen me do it. I just stare in the mirror into my soul. I have two reasons for doing that. One, there are lots of people and not enough clothes. I don't need to be looking at them. And two, I just would rather stare at my own soul and try to figure out what I'm thinking, right? So that's what I'm doing. I'm just staring deep into my own soul. But then the guy next to me on Friday, he decided he wanted to shadow box in the mirror next to me. And it was very distracting. And so he's just, and I'm like, I don't know what we're doing. Like, he didn't have gloves on. It wasn't even really good boxing either. But, I mean, whatever. He's doing his thing. But he was just beating the air. In between every set, he'd come over to the mirror, and he wanted to look at himself shadow boxing. the thing you should know about shadowboxing is the hardest person to beat in shadowboxing is you. That's who you're boxing, but that's the person you have to beat. And I want to tell him that. I don't know him. Maybe if I see him a couple times, we'll have that conversation. But it was kind of fun to see him there as I'm staring into my soul, just trying to figure out what I'm doing here, what's going on. You know, I had a belt on, so I looked like a muffin that went over the tin. You know, and I'm just like staring at myself, trying to catch my breath between sets. Paul says, I don't just beat the air. I have a strategy. I have a plan. I'm training. I'm coming. I'm going to the gym, or I'm going to God's word, or I'm waking up, or I'm making plans to go to school. I'm doing the things because I know what God has called me to do. I discipline my body like an athlete. Very important, like an athlete, training what I should. I want you to notice that he said that he should discipline your body like an athlete. Not like somebody who wants to be an athlete. Not like somebody who's going to be an athlete in the future. Discipline like an athlete now. Identify like an athlete now. So if God has called you to be a missionary, start living that missionary life now. If God has called you to go into ministry full time, then start disciplining yourself and training in that way and getting the training you need. Train, don't try. There's too many people that tell me, well, I'll try to go. No, go. Do it. Don't let it stop you. Our enemy will put up hurdle after hurdle after hurdle to keep you from doing the thing God has called you to do. Train and run towards it. And by the way, don't think this is a delayed gratification. Don't think that you're going to step up on day one and start and everything's going to blow up for you. I've been in the ministry for almost 20 years. I've only been preaching for the last 10. On a regular basis. Before that, you know what I did? To train for the ministry? I cleaned bathrooms. We drove people to conferences. We did marriage counseling. I did weddings where I was called a JV pastor because I wasn't one of the main pastors. Literally happened. I've done funerals. We've been at bedsides. We've been there with births and deaths and all these things. And those things have trained me to become the man I am today. Because sometimes when our training, we go, this isn't what I thought it would be. You're right, it's not. But that training gets you prepared for where you're going to be one day. You have to discipline yourself. You want to be a godly mom or a godly dad, you better start disciplining yourself now. You want to be a godly husband or a godly wife, discipline now with somebody who honors God with purity. Not trying, but training. When you show up, you put the work in, you have a game plan to live a pure and godly life, to uplift him in everything you do. Somebody, I want you to become somebody who is training for God, not just trying for God. Training isn't a hopeful experiment. It's a devoted commitment driven by a deeper why in Christ. That's what training is. When you know your why in Christ, the deeper why in Christ, that's where you go. Internalize that. Training isn't hopeful. It's not an experiment. It's a devoted commitment. This week I had, I have these chronicles. I send my wife these texts sometimes, or my friends these texts sometimes from the gym. Or I have these chronicles. Things happen to me occasionally. And this week I had a huge breakthrough. At the beginning of the year I got invited in by the gym bros. I don't know if you know who they are. But they're the guys that come in with like bags and they have potions and stuff in them. That's what I call them. They have powders that I don't know what they're taking. And they kind of welcome you in with open arms and chalk, you know, and they tell you stuff. One gave me a PDF of like how to build your body and told me all this stuff and gave me some tips and stuff like that. And I was like, okay. So I was welcoming. I got a belt. They thought I was really cool. There's a whole community. They came and admired my belt. Oh, it's old school. I like that. It was great, right? And so there's a younger guy that started working out. About March, and I was lifting this week on Friday, and mind you, I'm struggling. I've missed 2 days already. I'm tired. I don't want to lift, but I'm training, right? I'm training. I got to get up, and I'm training. I know the body I want. I know the mind I want. I know the health I want. So I'm training towards that goal. This young man comes over to me, and he taps me on the shoulder, and I take my earbud off and I go, hey, what's up, man? He goes, hey, so what is that exercise you're doing do? I said, it does this. I started explaining to him, and then it hit me. I've reached a new level. Like, I've leveled up a little bit because now they're asking me questions. Like, this young man asked me a question. You know, I'm like, oh. I mean, I still look like a, you know, one of those biscuit things that got popped open on the side, so it still comes over the edge. But, like, he felt enough that he could ask me something. It was kind of cool. It was a moment where, like, wow, I must be doing something right, because he felt like he'd come and ask me a question. And that'll happen in the training, where people will come to you and start asking you questions, and that lets you know you're going in the right direction. You're not there yet, but you're going in the right direction. And it feels good. It's a reminder that, hey, you're training in the right direction, and it lets you know that you can move in that way, and I want you to begin to apply training to your world. Don't just get hooked up in the world and its culture just to be hooked up. I want you to know that you are an ambassador in Christ in training, honoring God with purity in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, saving yourself for something better in the future. You see, God's help, I'm choosing what I want most over what I want now because of who I am. I'm trying to become something different. I'm trying to be an ambassador. I'm training to become what God has created me to be. What has he created you to be? Maybe for some of you today, you can start right there. What has he created you to be? Maybe he's created you to be a man or woman in God. Maybe he's created to be a husband or a wife or a daddy or a mommy. Maybe he's created you to be just a really good teacher or a really good salesperson. Whatever it may be, can you do it for the glory of God? Because what will happen when you start training is your sin tendency will pop right out and go, hey, what about me? Your sin tendency is opposite of everything that God has created you to be. And it's born out of working to embrace your spiritual identity. When you embrace what God has created you to be and what he's making you to be, your sin tendency is going to come out and try to drag you back. It's going to say, does God really see you as that? When the question should be, who does God see me as? Who have I learned to see myself as? Let me tell you. And honestly, you may giggle a little bit at this, but I don't really give a rip. I'm a spiritual warrior. This is what I tell myself when I'm staring in the mirror, if you want to know. If you ever see me in the gym and I got my hood up and earbuds on and I'm just staring at myself in the mirror, all I'm saying to myself over and over is, I'm a warrior in Christ. I'm a warrior in Christ. I have a calling from God to lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That is my God, my God-given assignment here on this earth. What is yours? My job is to help snatch people from the gates of hell and the kingdom of darkness and bring them into light in the family of God. It's a calling. And listen, I've got someone to protect. I've got some keys to help people advance. I am a warrior in the kingdom of God because that's who I am. And it drives every area of my life. Therefore, I have to be disciplined. Therefore, I have to train and be focused. I have to fight for purity because purity matters. I have to fight for humility because God tends to lift up the humble and tear down the prideful. I'm training to become more of who I am. I'm not trying. I'm training. Because it matters to God. Therefore, it matters to me. I honestly want to be that 50, 60-year-old dude that's just strong for no reason. Not necessarily buff, but strong. You know, old man strength. I want to be that. Because I'm training who God asked me to be. And what you'll find, as Paul talked about, is you begin to win. And when you show up, you become more of what God created you to be. And it's not because you tried to change, it's because you focused on training to change. You've been trying in your own power for too long. And there's a power greater than anything else on this earth that has to offer that comes straight from heaven down into you. It's called the Holy Spirit, and you have it, Christ follower. And I just want to encourage you today. It's a game changer in your mindset when you begin to say, I'm going to train. With God's help, we will choose what we want most over what we want now. My brother and I, when we were younger, and I don't even, do they still have layaway? Okay. When we were younger, we went to Maurice's, and we found these leather coats. I felt like it was something off the Matrix, but it was before the Matrix. They were long, like down to here when I was, and we got matching leather coats. And my mom said, I ain't buying that junk. And so I wonder what those things are. But they were nice. They were nice. And so we put it on layaway. And there's all kinds of things we could have done. But I remember my brother and I, leading up, we would cut grass. And then we'd take a portion of it. We'd go to Maurice's. We went to the mall. And we'd pay a little bit on it. And then we'd come back and we'd eat somebody's lawn. Or we'd, you know, shovel some leaves out. And then we'd come back and we'd put another 5-10 on it. And we'd come back and we'd just do this over and over and over. Until November of that year, we walked in. I put that final payment down. And they said, here you go. They even called me. That was one of the first time I called Mr. Nelson. Here you go, Mr. Nelson. And I had a little package. I opened it up, and there's my coat. I put that coat on and walked around that mall. I didn't even, like, take it out of the, you know, you're supposed to take it out of the bag. I put it on. I was so proud. It was my coat. I wouldn't let anybody touch it. You know, you're supposed to, like, when you get to school, they're like, you let your girlfriend touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch this thing. It's my Havre. It was so expensive. But it was my leather coat that I had worked towards and trained and done all these things so that I could have it. I disciplined towards a goal of having that coat so I could wear it. And it was so much fun because it's not when I was defeating my opponent, but it was just winning and having this thing that other people wanted, but I was able to be disciplined enough to have it. It was the delayed gratification that gave me this beautiful, simple little thing. God calls you to have delayed gratification in your life. And we live in a world that says, no, you have it now. You deserve it. How many commercials? You deserve a new car. Do I? You deserve that ring. You deserve that burger. You deserve all this stuff. You tell me what I deserve. God says, hey, listen, you deserve to be a child of mine and to live for the thing I created you to do. I need you to train for it. But in order to do that, you have to change the way you think. Don't let our enemy tell you what you're not. Don't let our enemy tell you what you're not. You're always unhealthy. Yeah. You're always ungodly. Okay. You're always going to fail. Great. But that's not the point. You have the righteousness of God in Christ on you. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. That's what you are. You are victorious in all in the blessing. You are a blessing coming in, and you are a blessing going out. That is who you are. That is who God has made you to be. Don't let him tell you anything different. And when you change your identity, when you change your identity in Christ by training yourself, you will find yourself growing in ways you never thought you could. This week, for the students, for the next 3 weeks while you're in school, and moving forward from there, I want you to begin a habit of training, not trying. And when you find that success, when you start training, you'll find yourself going, my goodness, I can do more. I can do more. This last week, I did something pretty amazing. Didn't think I could do it before. I've never been a big upper body guy. I don't have a lot of big upper body strength. I'm working on that. And when I work out by myself, I always get scared because I'm scared that I'll get too much weight and then I'll like try to push it and I'll make a sound like, and I can't get it up and now it's on my throat and I'm dying. And then I'm looking at the guy because there's always a guy at the desk, but he's never paying attention or he's asleep. You guys know what I'm talking about. And I'm looking at him like, help. And he's just like, oh, look at this. And I die. So like that's some stuff that goes to my mind. Welcome to my mind, okay? Those are stuff that goes to my head. And so I'm always kind of scared to go up and wait, but I finally did. I went up and I put another plate on the end. It was a small one, but I put it on there and I put it in and then I did my reps and I did all 10. And so I said, well, let's do it again. And I went up again and I did all 10. Well, I said I had 3 sets. So I put a bigger one on it and I did it again and I did all 10. I strained on the last one. Don't let me like, you know, sit here and tell you I did it really well. 9 and 10 were a struggle. 10 almost put it down on a lower one, but I got it up, and I did it. And I just thought to myself, man, And my training has made me stronger so I can do more than what I thought I could do. How amazing is that? Because then you begin to doubt yourself and you go, I can't do this, but you can. And you'll find yourself in situations as you train that you go, I can't do this in Christ. You can. But I can't go, you can. But I've never, you can. In Christ, when you train, you can. Do you take it little by little? Yes. I'm not just going to jump to 225 and throw it up. I'm not going to do that. I'll die. But can I walk my way up to where I need to be? Yes. Can you, if you start training today, months from now, years from now, start doing it? Yes. Is it hard because it's not what you want right now? Yes. But is it worth it because it's in Christ? Yes. You're not like the failures of your past. And when you walk out of here, you're not going to try anymore. You're going to begin training. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in the power of your Spirit that we change how we see ourselves. Let each of us begin to change how we see ourselves. Not like the failures of our past, but help us to see us as you see us and call us how you call us. Help us to be victorious overcomers. Help us to train to be more like you. Give us the courage to stop trying on our own power, but infused by the power of your Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, help us to move forward. Father, we so many times find ourselves trying. We need to start training in you. So Jesus, this week, give us that first step. A first step to be more like you, because this is the week that we celebrate your death, burial, and resurrection. That we remember that you walked to the cross, that you started by not trying, but living your life as you were called. And you were called to die on the cross for our sins. Help us to remember that and know that living our lives for you does require sacrifice, but is worth all of it because it brings glory to you and joy in our life. And we know that because your Son went to the cross for the joy set before him. Help us to be joyful in our task. Help us to walk in our task before you. And Jesus, this week, help us to get a regimen to begin training to be what you've called us to be. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. And if there's anybody in here that does not know the truth of your Son, help them right now to repent, to submit to you, and to turn their lives over to you and begin training to become the child that you've called them to be. We ask this all in your precious and matchless name, and all God's saints would say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.